Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
It's been a week of distraction. I was asked right before a TV show yesterday, who are you taking? Are you taking Pittsburgh or Cleveland? I said, I'm taking Pittsburgh. Okay, why? I got to give a reason. I said, well, they traded away Joe Flacco on Monday, which is not a reason because he wasn't going to play. Then they traded away Grant Delpit on Wednesday night, their starting cornerback, before the game. That's probably more of a reason that they've been dealing with distraction all week. That we've been talking about everything else because the Browns front office has made these moves. We've been talking about everything else before the game because we haven't had the chance to talk about the game. I mean, Calvin Austin's probably not going to play. Is Alec Highsmith going to play?
I thought yesterday it was looking like yes.
He's banged up. I mean, who's going to play? Who's not going to be able to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers? We haven't had a chance to really talk about it because you've been making trades.
Yeah.
And this was not
a week to break down the Steelers game. This was a week to talk about big trades.
Which
two guys that were starters to begin the year. Joe Flacco, your quarterback, and Greg Newsome, who'd been playing his best football of his career.
Listen, if you feel you got to make moves, Jalen Ramsey, it looks like he's not going to play either. But if you got to make moves, you got to make moves when you got to make them. Okay, they come around fine. And I know Kevin Stefanski, yesterday, bring this clip up. Yesterday, he did try to see, here I am going about something that's not the Steelers game. Kevin Stefanski yesterday on his show did try to clarify, I think, comments made about the Flacco trade and everything. I know that they highlighted that on the Fan's Twitter account yesterday, which might give you a little bit more color behind, you know, what happened with the Joe Flacco trade. They got called. They decided that, yeah, we're going to go ahead and we're going to make that move, and that's the way it went. But because you make those moves where it calls us into question about what your job is, or excuse me, what your thoughts were going into this season. What was the quarterback competition, or even, I can't even say the competition. The competition isn't a competition. It was the plan. It was the plan. It wasn't about a starting quarterback competition where, yeah, they should not have said it's a four-guy competition to be the starter. Clearly, it was maybe between two guys. Maybe. But when you make that move, after like the Kenny Pickett move, I'm going, why did you have guys taking the reps they did in the first place? Which, by the way, I know Daryl loves to do I Told You So. Boy, did I tell you so, because I was getting ripped up and down a few weeks ago about the whole Kenny Pickett thing, and here we are. I'm glad you've come to my side here. Here's Kevin Stefanski yesterday on his show about the quote-unquote surprise of the Joe Flacco trade.
Those things happen so fast. So the initial call comes in. I don't remember the exact day, but surprised that they're in the market. And obviously Joe's a guy that we think highly of and a teammate and all those type of things. So you're not sure where it goes. And, you know, there's conversations going back and forth. And then the conversations start heating up and it happens, you know, over the course of a 24-hour period. And we'll talk about Greg Newsome here in a second. This is, you know, the business of football. These things happen really, really fast. And when other teams come calling, it can kind of take you off guard that you didn't expect them to come calling for your guys. But, you know, I trust Andrew and our crew and the dialogue that we have. I trust that we make really good decisions for this football team.
We beat Kevin up on Monday because of what happened against Minnesota, and rightfully so, at least in our eyes, unless you disagree with that right now. We beat Kevin up would have been Wednesday because of the messaging of the whole trade and everything like that. It looked like there was the first seeds of dissension that were sown about a possible power struggle. No matter what people want to say to try to explain it away, it didn't look very good. Then you hear that clip. I don't think you're going to win this game on Sunday because I don't trust your culture. I don't trust the guys that are in the locker room to bring this team along and go out there and win a game in a tough environment that you haven't won since 2003 in the regular season. I don't trust what you've done. Can Kevin redeem himself if they go and they win this game? Because I question, you know, he's not a fiery guy. I've questioned that part about it. He's gotten excited here and there, but not really. He's not a bad cusser or anything like that. I actually think he's a good cusser when he's talking to the team and they bleep it out. I think, though, that he's not the type of guy that's going to give you anywhere near the Dan Campbell, the Mike Vrabel, the rah-rah if you need it. None of that. And I think right now, this is where you're batten down the hatches. I mean, you can do X's and O's, and Aaron Rodgers is still really good. You can do all that. You got to get these guys on the same page emotionally. You're about to ride a bus out to Pittsburgh and play a team that's leading your division and is tough. And I just don't know if you got your head in the right place and your heart in the right place to go out there and win that game. That said, you go out there and you do win that game, I think we could change some tunes about Kevin.
You mean just
start to right some wrongs maybe that we've been saying, I mean, myself included, have been saying about Kevin.
Look, it's an opportunity. The only way for Kevin to reverse any of the stuff that's out there is to start winning games. And the old lovable cliche that we use, stacking wins. They gotta do it. I know, you know, people roll their eyes. They don't think it's gonna happen. But you look at the schedule, the winnable games are coming. And this one was never circled before the season as a, quote, winnable game. Not even because Pittsburgh is really great this year, even though the record is pretty good. It's just because we never win. We've had great teams, or pretty good teams, that have not been able to win in Pittsburgh in the regular season. Obviously, we all know what happened in a playoff game. So I think that's part of it. Kevin just needs to win games to get people off his back. And I don't even know how many that would take, because some people are just out on him, period. There have been people that have been out on them for a few years. So with those people, you're not gonna change their hearts and minds. But I think there still is a group that is fickle and will go either way with them depending on the outcomes. He needs to win. He needs good results.
If I have folks that are doing, and I know that you've said that these people are longtime Andrew Berry supporters, could the draft class start to warm you up about Andrew Berry? Quick question. Even if they finish 6-11 this year, can the draft class warm you up towards Andrew Berry?
Sure.
Okay. Then if they go out there and they win this game on Sunday, could that not start to warm you up a little bit towards Kevin Stefanski? Knowing that, hey, the rest of the season can go like hell. The rookies could start playing like rookies.
Yeah.
So if I'm willing to move to warm up a little bit, I don't want to go swinging, falling back in love and all that other stuff because that's too emotional. That's too dramatic. I have to hold myself accountable to that way. But I'm really sore about what happened on Sunday against Minnesota. I thought that was an opportunity. The first six games are tough. You had yourself a chance. You screwed yourself over on the chance. You get ready for this game. You're going against Pittsburgh. I've just called out your culture for crying out loud. And if you find a way to circle the wagons there, I'm going to eat a little bit of crow and be excited about it on Monday morning now, aren't I? I mean, this is a challenge towards Kevin Stefanski and the leadership group, quote unquote, that they have on that football team. Because I don't think there's very many fans out there, and I think some are probably just hoping because it's any given Sunday in the NFL. I don't think there's many fans out there who are diehard orange and brown Browns fans who do believe that you're going to give yourself a chance to win on Sunday. Like, that's part of it. Will you give yourself a chance to win on Sunday?
But I'll tell you.
Or will we warm up and go through the motions and go out there and get beat?
First of all, Kevin Stefanski always takes one from Pittsburgh, right? And he's beaten Baltimore. Baltimore's been great in the regular season the last
over there,
years.
Though. And they've had some really scary evenings.
Sure, but I'll say this. Like, if Dylan Gabriel wins the game on the road, and it's not just like dink and dunk and screens. Like, if he's actually throwing the ball down the field,
all he needs to do is win. No, I know where you're going with this.
I think there's a total difference. I think Browns fans, they're not stupid. They know good quarterback play. They will know good quarterback play, and they'll be able to tell the difference between plug and play quarterback and, oh, this guy could elevate everybody else around him. There is a huge difference there, and that does transcend just winning a game in Pittsburgh. You know, if they if they dink and dunk and win a game by a point and whatever, yeah, we'll be excited. But if it's, oh my God, Dylan Gabriel's good. Like, he is doing things we didn't think he could do. He's actually showing that he's got accuracy down the field and stretching the field. Then it's a different story altogether. Now there's reason to galvanize behind everything that's going on.
I'm willing to just take a win. And this is where I'm going to split hairs with you. I'm willing to just take a win because I don't think that they can win in detriment of Dylan Gabriel. I don't think that he can be somebody who's a net negative and then go out and win. I think they kind of did it with Joe Flacco a few weeks ago, but I just don't think that that lightning is going to strike twice in an NFL season. So you got to go out there, and I think Dylan Gabriel on the road is going to have to execute at some decent level.
Yeah, but he's going to,
I would say, a high level, even though that defense ain't that great.
He's going to have third and eight. It's third and nines, third and tens. And if he's converting those, and again, we're not talking just dump offs.
Yeah, you got
to
be good.
He's going to have to stretch the field. There are going to be some uncomfortable situations for Dylan Gabriel. Kevin did everything he could to make sure that he wasn't put in those spots. That's going to be impossible this week. There are going to be moments and where that pocket is going to suffocate and collapse, and he's got to start to make plays and look like a decent NFL quarterback. Can't baby him forever. You're just not going to get away with that, you know, especially in a game in Pittsburgh. And so that's what I'm talking about. Fans will recognize that. If he's able to do that, that'll be really exciting.
I'm telling you, man, do you have faith that they'll be able to rally the troops and get going? Do you have faith?
I don't have a ton of faith. No.
So that's 2/3 of the show. Do you believe that? That's 3/3 of the show right there, and I don't know what Mitch is doing, so I'm just going to say it's an official show stance. I'm sorry. I don't think that you have the culture to go over there in Pittsburgh and go beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh. I'd love to see it happen. I've never wanted to be more wrong, maybe in my career, than I am about this situation. This is a personal challenge. I'm a Browns fan, damn it. You're a Browns fan. Oh, and you like the Browns. I don't care. I know you're a Chiefs fan, but I'm putting you in the group, damn it. This is a personal challenge from Browns fans in this studio to that organization, to Kevin, because I love the Browns, and I'll die loving the Browns. But damn it, I don't think that you got the culture to go over there and beat them. I'll lay the challenge down right now because it's going to take guts to go over there and beat them. You're going to have to ask more because you don't have the horses to just go out there and beat them. You might have a couple of good diamonds in the rough right there, but you ain't got the horses. So you got a football team that has finished around 9-8 over the last how many years? That has really just existed over the last how many years with Mike Tomlin. Don't think there's not a chance to go out there and beat him. There's a chance to do it. But are you going to be able to put away the distraction and not having Joe there? That's fine. But are you going to be able to put away the distraction and not having Greg Newsom there of all the conversation that's been going around this week about everything that's not the Pittsburgh Steelers? Are you going to be able to compartmentalize that and go beat him? I don't think you can. The challenge is out there, and if they do rise to that challenge, I'll give Miles credit, I'll give Joel credit, I'll give the leadership council of what they have credit.
Ooh, the council, the tribunal.
And I will come in here and go, damn it, Kevin, I was as mad as I possibly could be on Sunday afternoon, and I was really mad on Monday about what you did, but clearly you have had to have come up with a game plan and had to have motivated these guys to go out to Pittsburgh and win for the first time in the regular season since 2003. Damn it, that's a big moment, and I would love to be able to do it on Monday, but I don't think they got it in them. 216-474-0092. So let me ask you guys this. I think a lot of people are like, yeah, I don't know what our chances are, Ken. Okay, that's fair. That's fair. How much can Kevin do to redeem himself if they go and they beat Pittsburgh on Sunday? How much can the guys in the locker room, the leadership council, how much can they do to redeem themselves and go out there and beat Pittsburgh on Sunday and not just roll over and get boat raced?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Browns against the Pittsburgh Steelers coming up Sunday, Pittsburgh, not Three River Stadium.
Same just curse.
Seems like it should be. Yeah, same kind curse. Of curse. This is a Steelers team that I don't know people expected much of this year. And I say that because they changed some key pieces. They brought in a quarterback late who happens to be a Hall of Famer. And he's playing okay. He's not playing great. They changed a bunch of wide receivers, got rid of George Pickens, brought in DK Metcalf. He's done a nice job for them. Their running game, which used to be a big standard thing, Najee Harris was very consistent for them. Now they're mixing and matching a little bit. Got Gainwell, got Warren, got Caleb Johnson, who hasn't taken off yet, draft choice, who you thought maybe would. But they're 3-1, Andy. And
who would have thought they would be 3-1?
Well,
nobody.
Their wins are okay. See, that's why you can look at 3-1 and say, wow, they're 3-1, which is ultimately all that really matters.
Isn't that what the Steelers always are, though? It always feels that way.
Their wins are over the New York Jets and a lot of points, 34-32.
Mm-hmm.
Then they lost to Seattle.
And okay,
Seattle,
good team to lose,
Seattle
too.
Smoked them 31-17. Yeah. And then their last two wins against New England, who just looked good in last time out, and Minnesota, 24-21, who the Browns should have beaten.
Yes.
And the Steelers did beat by three. And I sit here and I wonder, are the Steelers as good as a 3-1 record? Now you are what your record is, blah, 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 blah. I just wonder. I think it's a team that's waiting to be exposed, actually, a little bit. And I wonder if the Browns can expose them. After the Browns this week, they play at Cincinnati. You can't imagine that they're going to have a whole lot of trouble with the Bengals, but you never know. So, you know, this, and then they have Green Bay. You don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to enjoy that?
Oh, I think they're looking at what they're probably, I mean, I hate to say it, if you take your brown and orange glasses off for a second, they're going to be 5-1. Going into that Green Bay game.
What you can be sure of is this. They know they have some challenges coming up on the schedule. But right now, coming off a bye week, you know they're going to be very ready to play the Browns. Because they think, hey, we need to get every win we possibly can while we can get it. And I would think they're going to be ready to play. And it's going to be up to the Browns' defense, I think, to keep this game down, keep Aaron Rodgers in check, and not let Aaron go nuts.
Where's Aaron sitting right now? As far, he's 25th in QBR, ahead of Carson Wentz. In ESPN's total QBR,
he's been a competent pro, Andy, but he hasn't been Aaron Rodgers circa Green Bay Packers.
No, but it's like Aaron Rodgers. It's one of those games where you go up against a quarterback that, you know, Hall of Fame quarterback, that in the fourth quarter, it's going to be a close game, and then all of a sudden you're going to be like, how did that happen? We've seen this game before, haven't we? Haven't we? We've seen this game before. That it'll be a close game because of the defense. Maybe Dylan Gabriel gets his team to 17 to 19 points, and then something happens, last drive of the game, fourth quarter, and the Browns find a way to lose. I'm not trying to be a pessimist. I hate
it. That sure sounds optimistic and fills me with good cheer.
Well, I'm just saying Pittsburgh is such a tough place for us to play. Over the last 20 years, the Browns
these guys weren't
record.
There.
You do want to know?
These guys weren't there.
It doesn't matter. It's the jersey.
Seen a jersey lose a football game.
I have. I've seen that Browns jersey lose plenty of times in Pittsburgh.
Don't think the jersey ever threw an interception. 0-21
against Steelers on the road since 04 regular season.
Don't think a jersey's ever thrown an interception. I don't think a jersey's ever caught a touchdown pass.
All right, well, map me out a way they win. I can give you one.
I can give you a formula how the Browns win absolutely every game they play.
I can too.
Defense plays really well. They pound it with Quinshon Judkins and somebody else steps up a little bit. Done. That's how they can win a game. I think it's a real simple formula for this team. And I also think it's about the only formula, because I don't think it's fair to expect a rookie quarterback to go out and win games for you. I don't think they've given him the wide receiver talent, whoever the quarterback is, to think that you're going to win a game by passing the ball. So you're going to have to run behind the offensive line that has done a nice job in run blocking. You have a hammer in Quinshon Judkins, and your defense is going to have to keep him in check. Done. That's how you win games. Now, can you do that? It's another story, isn't it?
I could see Judkins having a good game this week.
Absolutely. I could see him having a good game every week.
Yeah, I can too.
And they've got it. They have an offensive line that knows how to run block. They know how to run block.
They do.
If they're healthy, they get it done.
So does anyone have faith in the Browns? You want to play that game? I just don't have faith in this team to win. I hope.
Well, I don't know why you would. They're 1-4.
You know, and I'm not trying to go back to the quarterback thing here, but.
Oh, look, go ahead.
Can we
mention his name.
Gabriel.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's your starting quarterback. Can we get behind this guy?
I'm stunned.
Are we allowed to get behind him? Are we allowed to feel good about him? Are we allowed to say,
you're not
allowed
to feel good yet. You're allowed to be hopeful.
Yeah, I think last week he didn't turn the ball over. That normally means a win.
Daryl said the same thing that I've been thinking, and I said it yesterday. Turn him loose a little bit. At this point, you're 1-4. You have nothing to lose.
Well, I agree with that. If you turn him loose a little bit, are you susceptible to turnover? And does that, in turn, change the game? Or do you try to, especially with Judkins, like just try to, you know, Woody Hayes, 3 yards in a cloud of dust all the time, right? Although it's hard to get the dust. It's like those rubber pellets when you play. Sometimes
3 yards in a cloud of rubber pellets?
Well, yeah.
No, Pittsburgh's natural grass. You can get dust.
No, I know.
Alex is in Mentor. Alex, welcome to the show.
I know you did.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, Alex?
Hey, real quick. No, I'm calling from the inner city.
Okay.
Poverty area, East Cleveland and inner city.
Oh, it says
Mentor. We would like to know, first of all, where's the diversity down there at K&R? The diversity. Answer that later on. Second of all, what are you doing?
Call the right channel, Alex. Kevin is in North Olmsted. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm not sure following that gentleman, but anyway.
Sorry, this is 92.3 The Fan. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm going to probably bum you out here, Jeff, because I can see the Browns probably not at the trade deadline because they wouldn't be able to orchestrate everything they need. But I could easily see in the offseason that this year they actually do trade Myles Garrett. And I say that because, I mean, the Browns this year and next year, and I didn't check the year after, but they're second from the bottom in cap space. Now, if you go to the top, the people that near the top for next year, there's both LA teams, because I know Myles has a veto power, right? So he's going to want to go somewhere where he has a chance to win a championship. So that leaves the Chargers. So, okay, they're at $111 million in cap space for next year. And then you don't want to trade them within the AFC. Understood. You go over to the Rams. The Rams have over $90 million in cap space next year. And the Commandos have $84 million in cap space, followed by the Seahawks that have $79 million in cap space. I mean, it's very clear that nothing positive is really going to happen. And the thing that Haslam's going to care about is opening Brook Park with optimism. And so next year's could be a wash, even if the rookies and young players continue to develop. And so what are you saving them for? And we've got a great defensive coordinator. I know you can't just make up for Myles Garrett leaving the team, believe me. But, you know, I mean, good Lord, at least they picked fantastic draft choices this past season. And
so far it looks that way.
Yeah, it does. And hopefully they can continue to do that. And then you're lowering your cap. You get out of the Deshaun nightmare, hopefully after next year, unless somehow he plays and he turns into Miracle Boy. But That's just how I see it right now. They're going to get as many draft picks. They're going to, you know, add to their cap space, which as of now for next year is just under $14 million. And that's just how I see it, guys.
And Kevin, you might be right because, you know, right now if you're looking at the roster, I think it's weak. The defense, I think it's pretty solid. And on the offense, I think they need some help. You know, now can they figure out how to win games while that's going on? That's the question, isn't it? It's a big question. We go to Wayne County. Entertainment joins us from
Worcester. Entertainment! What's up, man?
Let's say on your birth certificate, right. Big E.
Hello, fellas. All right, well, check this out, okay? I want to say this for entertainment purposes only, okay? So we need new blood, okay? And that starts with Kevin Stefanski. Just picture this, okay? Just picture this. Imagine if Kevin Stefanski just gets fired, just get let go, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look for another head coach.
Mm-hmm.
What would it take to get Deion Sanders here?
Okay, entertainment, thank you very much.
Money? If that's what you want, again, money. Money gets anyone anywhere you want, I think, for the most part. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
If that's what you want, okay.
And why would you want that?
He's been successful as a college coach. I mean, he put Colorado on the map.
You can make the argument Colorado's been on the map before.
Not like this.
No, I would agree with that.
I think he's done a fantastic job marketing a program that was struggling, and he's made that university a lot of money.
Yeah, you don't need that in the NFL. What you need are wins, because everything else takes care of itself if you win football games. Could Deion be a good head coach in the NFL? I don't know. You could be darn sure if he came here.
Do you want Pat Shurmur back?
We would know who his starting quarterback would be.
I mean, he's, what's his
name? No, I don't want
he's
Pat Shurmur.
He's 15 and 16 overall.
That's a nice fellow, though.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
I view them as a team that is probably going to be exactly what they have been for the last few years, which Steelers fans hate, which is a team that hovers right around 500, ends up just above 500, isn't really a team that can make a push in the playoffs. I don't see any reason to believe that they are not that. I think the thing that data tells you about aging quarterbacks is that the average depth of target comes down. He has, Aaron Rodgers, the lowest average depth of target in the entire NFL right now. His average depth of target is 5. I just don't see a way that you're going to get through the rest of the season knowing that they have to somewhat keep it close to the line and not find defenses that can go, I know exactly what to do against this. And so I tend to think that, no, they're not particularly good.
That was Lindsay Rhodes of Sumer Sports in the previous segment, and I think she's right now. I also look at the Steelers defense and think, I think the Steelers defense is better than it's played through the first four games.
It has to be better.
I also think their schedule lightens up here in a minute, because they play the Browns. And I also actually do think, like, the offense has subsided in a couple big plays here and there. I actually think the offense has room to grow as well. I think in watching Rodgers looks better already through four games than I thought Russell Wilson looked through his first four games last year when he came. What was that? Because I remember Fields had his moment at the start of the season.
Yeah, and then it was
took over.
It was the final 10 games, if memory serves me right. So like, after week six, I want to say.
Like, Russ had like one good game right out of the chute, and then the final nine games happened. I think Roger, I'm not talking about stats. I'm talking about like looks better throwing the ball, looks more comfortable. I think the Steelers are 3-1, and it wouldn't surprise me. Health is a big thing. The early buys another.
I mean, I thought Lindsay made a great point, though. And it's not one. Listen, have I caught every snap of Aaron Rodgers this year? No, but I have watched a substantial amount of the Steelers games. And I didn't realize, like, I looked at the numbers for the Minnesota game. This is a game I watch. I have an actual thought on top of this within that. And I didn't realize 3.3 yards average depth of target. Like we've criticized the idea that Joe Flacco was shackled. Joe Flacco was wearing these golden handcuffs and wasn't able to be Joe Flacco. The early returns right now with Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh, whether it's because he can't make the throws or whether they're doing something with Arthur Smith to tell him not to make the throws, he's not throwing the ball at all of any sort of length down the field.
So I do think that this is Arthur Smith. Why? I don't know. I think it might be as simple of it's early. Let's let the offense take time to germinate, and let's see if we can just kind of stay competitive. And as the season goes, then we'll develop the offense.
Well, so I think people look at what happened in Minnesota, for instance. I think it's a great game to look at because you look at the final numbers and you're like, whoa, Rodgers completed 81% of his passes.
Yeah.
Like, that's enticing to people, you know? You're like, what, 81%? That's an insanely high number. And then when Lindsay brings you on, you kind of find out why there's just that large number attached to it. And I'm sure if you watch the game, you could tell that as well. But if I'm Arthur Smith, I'm 3-1. I have had success with Aaron Rodgers doing it. I don't think it's the way you should operate with Aaron Rodgers, but I bet they buy 100% into it and continue to do it.
So I think this is tricky because the line on this game on Sunday is only 5.5 points.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's Vegas telling you that they think this game might be more competitive than you think.
So one thing into that, though, is that Tomlin plays games close anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's, to me, that was a reflection of how the Steelers typically play these games anyway.
And I actually think this game, I'd be surprised if it's a blowout, it's going to be a real cause for concern. Like, I don't think the Steelers are who they're going to be 5 weeks from now. I think this is the typical Tomlin team that kind of mills around for a while and then suddenly finds its place. Last year was a little different because they had the offense just fell all the way apart. I actually think this is going to harken back to the vintage teen Tomlin teams, where it's like, well, they're 6-2, but they don't really look good. Mm-hmm. And then the final nine games looked really damn good. I think that's what this team's shaping up to be.
I don't know. I guess time will tell on it. I haven't been convinced the entire time that they're anything special, but it's interesting just watching. I told you I wasn't Aaron Rodgers yesterday, and he kept talking about these tight ends as if they were the world's greatest. At one point, he said it's the best pair of tight ends I've ever played with in the NFL. He's talking about Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, all right. And then so I looked at it. I'm like, well, what kind of numbers do they have? The two collectively have 150 yards this season.
Yeah.
Like they haven't done anything.
I think Mike Tomlin's war crime has been on tight ends, because Freiermuth is way better than his stats say.
I've always thought Freiermuth is a good football player.
Didn't Jonnu Smith put up like 800 yards last year or something?
Yeah, like Rodgers is like, this is the best set of tight ends I've ever played with in my career. And this is, and if you've listened enough to Rodgers, he's so pedantic and he's so just increasingly annoying about little details. But he doesn't just straight up lie in these things. Like, he genuinely does believe it. And I'm just not seeing the evidence there. But it's a combination right now. The offense looks, it looks fine, and the defense looks fine. And right now, that's good enough to be 3-1.
And I'm certain the defense is going to be better.
I am
certain about that, even though they're a little bit older. The offense, I think, is going to be better. I just don't know how good it's going to be. I just think, like, I think comparing it to the last couple of years is rough, because I still think Aaron has more in the tank than washed Russ does, and certainly their quarterback situation from the year prior.
I agree with that. Like, I there's no part of me that thinks Aaron Rodgers can't play football better than Russell Wilson did last year.
It's a crazy thing about it, though. I actually think the Browns can win this game.
I don't know why not.
Yeah. I mean, if you can get
this
Aaron,
is going to be a close game.
It should be. And if it's not, it means all the things we were concerned about this year when it came to things like trading Joe Flacco, what message that sent the locker room, the Newsom trade. If Pittsburgh blows you out, it's not because I think the Steelers are every bit as good as their record says. I think it's going to be because you destabilized where this team is.
No, we've all watched enough Steelers games to know it's just not how Tomlin operates. Tomlin gets ahead, and then Tomlin finds ways to let the other team back into it.
We call that a...
consistently does that, but he always wins.
Worse Harbaugh.
No, but he still... Yeah, he still Harbaugh always wins. Him. That's the difference. And Stefanski's been doing that this year, too, where he wets teams back into it, and then they end up winning. Tomlin's difference is that he wets teams back into it, they make stupid mistakes and stupid things happen, but he still always pulls out the win.
216-474-0092. Are the Steelers good? Maybe the other way of saying it is, are the Steelers as good as their record states they are? I don't think they're playing that level of football, but I actually think that's more concerning. I think when you can win and you're not playing good football, and specifically the defense has a much higher standard that's expected of them, as everybody else gets better, I think you can slingshot even better if you just continue doing what you're doing and have a modicum of health.
Yeah. I agree with your sentiment, though. I do think this weekend's going to be close, which is odd because there's not much enthusiasm around this Browns team.
Yeah.
This is not the week to come off being like, hey, let's wave the pom-poms. But it's just how these games go with Tomlin.
If they hadn't just done two trades that I think can be destabilizers, I might be thinking about pulling out the old G word again.
Which has now become like just a thing around the station.
What do you mean?
Well, you had the G word before I left.
Yeah.
And when I do not say the G word anymore, I'm not sure.
No. I only pull it out when I mean it.
And then I saw Lima. Lima had the G word was used at one point as well while I was gone. I think the G word was used with Lima.
I was riding my coattails on the G word.
I didn't know if we were just kind of like all taking turns using the G, if it was the season of the G word.
I think imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. They saw me get the guarantee that Green Bay would, the double guarantee that Green Bay would win.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were like, that sounds like it tastes pretty good. I think I want a slice.
Well, I wasn't sure then if it was like, is Jake Molnick going to do the guarantee tonight? Are we just going to continue to have people go down and, until we have guarantees from everybody? Is that what's going
to
happen? I mean,
if they want to, they can, but there's only one guarantee king here.
Is the trend going to be, or
he's
don't
the
worry,
burger bet king.
I won't step on your guarantees.
I know you won't. Some of these other rabble rousers. Let's get to quick hits, including Shedeur Sanders on his readiness in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Nick Costos, host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are presented by MGM. Make it legendary. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app and catch You Better You Bet weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. and You Better You Bet countdown to kickoff on Sundays from 11 to 1 p.m. leading you to the kickoff on the BetMGM network right there on the Odyssey app.
Nick Costos, ladies and gentlemen, how are you, Nick?
Hey, Nick.
What's going on, guys? In a little bit of mourning today after my Yankees lose last night in terrible fashion to the Blue Jays, but other than that, doing great. What's going on?
Hey, you still have Booney. That's good.
Oh, it's the best. Yeah, Supreme Court Justice Aaron Boone and Supreme Court Justice Brian Cashman have the jobs until death. Gotta love it. 16 consecutive years for the Yankees without a championship, which I know.
Oh, my God.
I understand.
Say it isn't so, Nick.
What a drought.
16 whole years.
Listen, look, I know everyone likes to say Yankee fans are like Duke fans and Cowboys fans and Lakers fans. I'm a New York sports guy, right? Like, I'm a Giants fan. I'm a Rangers fan. I'm a Knicks fan. So I'm like a front-running sports fan. But look, like, when you're a Yankee fan, you expect a certain standard, and they haven't met it. And I think they're going to run it back next year. And I have no reason to believe that it's going to be any different next year than it's been for the last 16 years. And I mean that, like, objectively. That's not just me as a Yankee fan saying that. Like, why would anything change? They never win. There's no fire. I think the manager stinks. I think the GM stinks. Other than that, it's great. But so there you go.
Wow. Can you believe that, you know, kids in the Tri-County area there, I mean, or wherever the boroughs are, they couldn't even drive yet. I mean, right? 16 years old, and in their lifetime, you know, not only have they not been able to drive, now they can drive, and they still haven't seen a World Series champ. Oh, man.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, well.
It is. It's devastating.
I don't want to turn this into, like, a New York thing here. But, yeah, like, if you're a New York fan of a certain, like, seen, like, the Jets haven't made the playoffs in 10 years.
Oh.
The Giants have been absolutely terrible. The Rangers haven't won a Stanley Cup since 94. The Knicks haven't won a championship in my lifetime. The Mets haven't won since 86, and the Yankees haven't won since 2009. Now, I've seen my favorite football team win Super Bowls. I've seen the Rangers win a championship. I've seen the Yankees win 5 World Series, but yes, the younger New York sports fan, I think, is worthy of your pity. Are they? Maybe not for Cleveland sports fans.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
We had the Cavs in 2016, and then we had the We had the
what war was that going on?
I'll tell you what though, and I know it was only one. I think, and I get asked this question sometimes, like, what's the best sporting event of your lifetime? Now, football is my favorite sport. I actually think the best single sporting event ever, in my lifetime at least, is Cavs Warriors Game 7.
There you go.
In 2016.
Wow.
And you know what, Nick? You'll always have the Devils!
Well,
the Devils!
I remember watching that game. Are you guys Game of Thrones fans? Like the TV show?
Not me.
I'm not.
I get everything you're saying.
I'll vaguely understand what you're saying.
So that night of Cavs Warriors Game 7 was, it's a famous episode. It's the Battle of the Bastards, it was called. It's like the name of the episode. It's like a famous episode in Game of Thrones. So you had that night on TV, I remember watching it, was Cavs Warriors Game 7 directly into this highly anticipated episode of Game of Thrones. And I just remember the score was tied at 89, so the Cavs won 93-89, right? So they go ahead 92-89 on the Kyrie 3. And then LeBron makes one of the two free throws after, like, Draymond Green almost kills him when he's going for the dunk at the end. I remember just sitting, like, on the absolute, like, edge of my seat. I've never felt drama like that watching a sporting event before. And the Cavs obviously win, and I bet the Cavs in that series. It was awesome.
Nice. There you go. Let's bring it on.
At least, you know, other than Mike Rupp giving the Devils everything they needed, and obviously the Cavaliers giving you something to look forward to.
How about this?
Where did Mike Rupp come from just
here, now? He's from Cleveland. That's why I brought it up.
He scored the game-winning goal in Game 7 against the Ducks in 2003.
Yeah, see, I was just giving you a little love.
There it is.
A little love.
Did you know it's Steeler Week?
Did you know that?
I did. I did.
If you're a Browns fan, what should you do with your cash as they head to Pittsburgh to take on Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers, who are 3-1 and kind of sitting on top of the division, and everybody's wondering, how'd that happen?
Yeah, I think they're the best team in the division right now, and this team that Baltimore's fielding, and we'll see what the injury report has for them this week. Obviously, like, Lamar's not going to play. That's what the betting market says. Lamar's not going to play. Like, the Ravens might be the worst, actually the worst team in the league with all the guys that they've had out. Like, if you go back, it's actually funny. If you go to the Ravens official Twitter account and the Sunday morning tweet with the inactives, it's like all the best players on the team. It's like if someone said compose a tweet with all like the 8 best players on the Ravens, like that would have been the tweet of players that missed the games last week. So they're going to be 1-5 going into the bye. And maybe Tyler Huntley starts and gives them a little bit of a jolt. We'll see. But I think they're very likely to lose to the Rams. They'll be 1-5. The Bengals are obviously a disaster with Browning and now Joe Flacco. And I think by kind of process of elimination, like the Steelers are the best team now. The point spread is currently Steelers -5.5 on Sunday against Cleveland. And to be clear, it is a brutal, like, travel rest spot for Cleveland in comparison for the Steelers, right, who are coming off their bye week, mm-hmm. whereas the Browns just played an international game and now have to play Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's had 2 weeks off. So this is like a big-time rest advantage, travel advantage for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are obviously hosting the game. I do think if it goes up to 6... And we've seen the Steelers get bet throughout the course of the week. So in betting, 5 is what we call a dead number, where a game can land on 5, meaning like a team wins by 5 points. But think about the math of the NFL in terms of like how the scoring works. Like, it's very unlikely to land 5. So 5 doesn't matter. 6 is the next big number that matters. If it goes to 6, I think I would place a small bet on the Browns to cover the spread. But the bet that I like in this game, guys, is actually in the prop market. I think 4-6 weeks from now, we are going to be talking about Isaiah Bond as being the number one receiver on this team. I actually see no reason why they would keep Jerry Jeudy on the team. I think this is going to be like a fire sale come trade deadline time. And Njoku could be on the way out. I'm not reporting anything, just saying. Like, Harold Fannin's been really good. You save money if Njoku is on the way out. And I think they want to open up space for Bond and maybe for Jamari Thrash. So I wouldn't be shocked if Judy's not on the team post-trade deadline. And Isaiah Bond's snaps have been, you know, rising steadily here. He seems like he's got a little bit of a rapport with Dylan Gabriel. His receiving yards prop is 29.5. I think that's too low. I do like the Isaiah Bond over guys on receiving yards on Sunday.
All right, so what was the over-under on the game is 38.5. So I guess most people are expecting the Browns to lose somewhere like 20-18, because this team cannot get over 20 points. If you go back and look at the last, I think it's like 22 games, 23 games, They have, I think they've been over 20 twice, maybe three times in that span. The Browns cannot get over 20. They just haven't been able to do it in the last 2 years. What does that tell you for the business you're in?
Well, I'd say, you know, this is one of those games where, like Chiefs-Lions, right? If I just asked you, do you think that's going to be a higher scoring game or a lower scoring game? What would you say?
I would say higher scoring game on the surface, yeah.
Right, 100%. And St. Brown's, Brown Steelers, like lower scoring game.
Yes.
So like the betting market, like, look, you can bet the under and the game could finish 9-6 and you can win easily. Just like the betting market knows, like the total's 38.5. That's ridiculously low. Now, maybe it's not low enough and that's the case that you want to make here. For me, that's a pass. Like, crazy things happen when you bet totals. If I had to bet it, I'd bet the under, but I don't have a strong opinion there on the total of the game.
What does Joe Flacco going to the Cincinnati Bengals do for anything bet-wise in the AFC North?
Well, okay. So, you know, I like the way you phrased that question.
Thank
now,
you.
You're welcome. I'm going to inject my opinion into the answer here, but like my opinion doesn't have to be your opinion or the listener's opinion. I actually think that there's an interesting opportunity here with Cincinnati. Now, I want to be clear. I don't think this is going to happen. So I'm going to lay out a scenario, which I admit could happen. I don't think it's going to. Now, the Bengals are 2-3. And, you know, I think that we need to start really considering that the Ravens are actually going to miss the playoffs. And if that's the case, it's going to open up another spot, obviously, right? Now, let's just say that the timeline for Joe Burrow is accurate and he could be back in mid-December. Can Joe Flacco keep the Bengals afloat, you know, so that when we get to mid-December and there's four or five games left, that Burrow can come back and they can potentially make a run? So here's Cincinnati's final three games of the season. They're at Miami in week 16, host Arizona, and then host the Browns in the final game of the season. Like, if Burrow's back, like, they could easily win those three games. So will they be in contention when Burrow gets back to potentially make the playoffs? Now, I think the answer to that question is, like, it's a hard no for me. I didn't like the Bengals to make the playoffs with Burrow playing 17 games, so I'm certainly not going to like them with Flacco here. Flacco can't move. The offensive line's like absolutely terrible, and the defense is absolutely terrible. Now, they had to make this move because Jake Browning is unplayable. He's the worst quarterback in the league this year. He's been so bad. So I don't fault them for making the move. I don't know what this does for them other than gives them like more of a shot to be competitive in games. Now, it helps Ja'Marr Chase. It helps T. Higgins in terms of fantasy football. And like, I love that. I love fantasy football. It makes the games more watchable with Flacco as opposed to Browning. But, you know, I don't see it for Cincinnati. I think this is not a playoff team. But, you know, their prices are pretty big. If you think Cincinnati can stay in contention with Flacco, your hope is that when Burrow comes back, they're in range, and then Burrow rips off wins down the stretch. And look, this is worth noting also, and this is true, like, no team in the AFC wants to see Joe Burrow in the playoffs. So, like, if they got in as the 7th seed, like right now, I think the Colts are the 2 seed in the AFC. Like, could you imagine Bengals-Colts in the first round, and it's Joe Burrow against Daniel Jones? Just, like, think about that, right? Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen, but it is a little interesting if Flacco can keep them in contention. I don't see it happening, but again, like, I would urge all the listeners out there, like, what do you think's going to happen, and bet accordingly?
Okay. Let me bounce one thought off of you. We heard this, and you being a New York fan, are you surprised that the reports are out there that the Bengals did not call the Giants and instead called the Browns about Flacco? Didn't call the Giants about Jameis or about Russ Wilson?
So I'm going to give you like a really good answer here, which is going to be like, I don't know if anyone like cares about these specifics, but like the Giants signed Jameis to a 2-year deal, and like the thought is he's going to be the backup.
Yeah.
So he was going to be like kind of like the mentor a little bit. I guess mentor is not like the right word to Jackson Dart, but that he was going to be on the roster this year in case like the bleep hit the fan and Brian Daboll needs to save his job. And then Jackson Dart in year two, Jameis Winston's the backup quarterback. Russ is on a 1-year contract. So I never felt like Jameis was going to move. I am a little surprised that they didn't try to make a call for Russell Wilson. And the only reason I say that is, like, think about their offensive line, Cincinnati, right? And it's not that Russ is what he used to be in terms of mobility, but he's definitely more mobile than Joe Flacco. So I would have thought Russ would have been a better fit just because the Bengals' offensive line is bad. So, yes, I am a little surprised. I'm not surprised about Jameis. I am a little surprised about Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I am too. Nick, great stuff as always.
Thanks,
thank you,
buddy.
Love having you with us.
You got it. I love being on with you guys. Wishing everybody minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck.
Nick Costos, our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider.
That was the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary for all of your betting and sports talk needs. Check out the BetMGM network right there on the Odyssey app.
Stop doing these things!
Oh, that wasn't me.
That's amazing. Put it on the bulletin board. Let's go.
That was in between chest press and butterfly rows. Guys, I was raised by one of the great motivational speakers of all time, the great Keith Wakefield. And I can do them any way you want me to. That one was actually genuine. The other one, you wanted me to act for it. This one, I didn't even mean for it to be that way. Damn it. Oh, hey, it's up to them.
Are you getting the tinglies?
Stop playing the music behind.
Are you starting to realize it is Steelers week? We're almost there.
Nobody is.
The hated Pittsburgh Steelers.
We got Daryl coming up at 8:20.
TJ Watt.
God, I hate you.
Bill Cowher, the chin.
Challenges out there.
Turkey Jones.
Are you done? Are you finished?
Tommy Maddox.
No, he's not. Oh. He's still going.
Should have won that game.
He's still going. Hodges?
Remember, Foch Fazio used to listen to this show.
Foch Fazio used to listen to this show.
Punch Ilkin did.
Ilkin and Barrasso. Yeah, good. Did you see? Now they're on YouTube Live.
Oh, no way.
They got massive ratings.
You got to stop. Just knock it off. You make me have to tell a story every time.
Foch Fazio passed away at 71.
I know he did.
In 2009.
Yeah, I know.
He used to listen to our show.
No, he did not listen to the show. It's Al Saunders who, I don't know if he still does.
I've seen Al Saunders.
And you are no Al Saunders.
You are no Al Saunders, my friend.
Damn it. I'm going to a call now. Donald in Cleveland, get me out of this, please. Thank you.
Good morning, Dad.
Hi, same to you.
So look, I'm trying to figure out what history do we have to actually think that Stefanski knows what he's doing with quarterbacks?
Well, not very much.
So why would we believe that what he's saying about Shador is true, that he's not ready?
Well, the thing is, he's not saying much about anything about Shador. He just says that he's working hard and going day to day. It's all of us talking about Shador Sanders.
Yeah, Tommy Reese also yesterday said he's doing all the right things. That's the message. But then when they leak reports out to the national reporters, it's like, oh my God, there's this huge chasm between him and everybody else.
Who are you saying is leaking report? Who's getting reports leaked to him?
Every time the guys that are pretty plugged into the Browns, whether it's Ian Rapoport, whether it's Albert Breer, they talk about this gap that exists. Well, where's that coming from? Maybe it's the players. Maybe they've got existing players, but they're not making it up out of thin air.
Go ahead there, Donald.
So, but then another thing I want to say about, I hear everybody talking about the preseason, how bad Shador played in preseason, right? He played two games, correct?
Yeah.
They act like Dillon Gabriel played one game. He played two games, correct, too. In the first game, I saw a pick six. I saw him look terrible. Nobody ever talks about that. Like, it doesn't happen. Like, it didn't happen. Am I right or wrong?
I guess. I don't know where you're going with that one, though. What are we talking about the preseason
say, why are
for?
We mentioning Shador's preseason but not Dillon Gabriel's preseason?
I didn't
preseason.
Mention Shador's preseason myself, to be honest with you, so I don't know where that one's coming from, Don. Don, I'm not in a good mood. They're using my own words against me right now, as they tend to do. So I wish I met you in a better mood.
Donald, do you it's wish we... About, do you wish
Donald,
we had,
do you want to motivate the Browns this week in Pittsburgh?
Go ahead. Play the music. Get them going. Go ahead, Donald.
Look, I just want... football team and a coach that know how to get his players in the right position. I'm watching a coach that had a mediocre offense for 5 or 6 years now, and it's time for him to go.
Wait a minute, that wasn't a motivational speech.
Yeah, it was a motivational speech for Jimmy Haslam. Get his ass out of here, Jimmy.
He said it's time for him to go. Guys, we're playing the Steelers on Sunday. I All right, you want to make motivational speeches, go right on ahead. 216-474-0092. Marcus in Parma. Marcus, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well, Marcus. Thank you. Go ahead.
I got a question for you guys. So everybody keeps saying that Shador is not ready. And I'm trying to figure out, because he's been here for 6 years, and no quarterback has been, nobody's been good under him besides Baker Mayfield, and he didn't draft him. He didn't pick him. And I'm trying to figure out, How can y'all tell that he's...
It's Steelers week! Come on, Marcus!
Let's go!
Let's go!
I'm trying to figure out how Shador sucks so bad.
He doesn't stink. It's not you guys. It's Lima who said it. I didn't say it. I didn't say it. Marcus, thank you for the call. Turn up the music. I didn't say he was bad. I said he was good. I still think he should probably be the emergency quarterback. I don't want to just throw him out there to the wolves,
and
but still.
This weekend in Pittsburgh, when Dylan Gabriel exits with a hamstring injury, Bailey Zappe to the rescue, the backup quarterback on Sunday against the Steelers. Zappe back to pass, looks at... he's picked off. Thirty-1-3, Pittsburgh.
They just want to call in and rip Stefanski. They don't even want to give a motivational speech. I didn't mean to make.
Well,
a
you've
got it.
You can do both, but you have to do one. For
I
sure.
I meant to be mean spirited. Not even mean spirited. I don't think you're gonna do it. I don't think you're gonna do it. You've had a week of distraction. How good is this team with distractions? Terrible. Absolutely horrific. How good is this team with any? You're making trades on a Wednesday. How good is this team for preparing for the future? Great. How good is this team with cap space? Excellent. How good is this team for playing on Sunday? Not too terribly wonderful, guys. Not too great. Well, here's the challenge for you. Go right on out there. You want me to shut up about your chess and checkers and 4D chess? Go out there and win. You're tired of us talking about Shador Sanders and what Ryan Clark and Mina Kimes and Luke McCown are saying about him, what Skip Bayless is saying about him. Go out there and beat him. Or if you're not, go out there and lay down like you've done many times before. Yeah, we don't have Greg Newsome. Yeah, we have Tyson Campbell. No, don't look at his mentions on social media from Jaguars fans. Damn it, we got a chance. Are you with me, Cleveland? No, they're not.
It's rivalry week.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
I heard they're going to do a 21st anniversary celebration of Big Ben getting drafted. Ken, doesn't that fire you up?
No, they didn't steal our team from us.
Oh, that's right.
You guys want to sit here and talk about Jackson Dart?
This isn't
going to fire up the music for that.
This music's not going to get us flagged, right? Like, this is fair use.
It came from the boss.
It better be fair use, because this is not bad.
Oh, wait a second here. I think we have to go back to the phones.
No, Ken. Well, I'm going to Sam in Akron. Hello, Sam. What do you got?
So I have a theory. Maybe they're not playing Shador because they are throwing the season. And if he's your best shot, what's the point of putting your best player out there ruining that chances?
Well, what are the odds, Sam? You're getting pulled over by the police, and we're giving you motivational music to talk to law enforcement.
What was the sirens in the background, Sam? Are you okay?
Yeah, there was an accident about a mile back.
Oh, I hope
did you cause it?
You flee.
I hope it's okay.
Yeah, it looked okay. It just looked like someone ran off the road.
Sam, thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, I ran someone off the road. It looked like that back there.
No. Cleveland, hello. Kevin, hello.
Come on.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing? I've got myself a speech.
All right, let's go.
Let's go, Kevin.
Hold on.
waiting for my music here. Gentlemen, Steelers week. It's on Sunday. Did we lose? No, maybe. We probably will lose because we are 1-4. But it's not going to matter this time because we didn't quit when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor. We're not going to quit when we lose on Sunday. We got this. It's the Browns versus the Steelers. Let's get a W or a tie or most likely a loss. But it doesn't matter because we are going to win or lose.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Find that.
Hell no!
I'm good at my job.
Forget it, he's rolling.
Can't say we can't have fun with a 1-4 football team. It's not
great
impossible.
Great to hear Daryl Ryder's motivational speech.
Oh,
now.
Yeah, it's great. Do-do-do-do. Dylan Gabriel wasn't as good as the ball boys. Dylan Gabriel wasn't as good as the garbage men. Dylan Gabriel wasn't as good as the contractors.
It doesn't matter who starts. They're going to lose anyway.
Knock it off. Not in the mood for that today.
Coming up next, the Browns draft was great. But will it be messed up because the Browns didn't take Jackson Dart? I'm sure Daryl said we should have been taking him from day one. Mr. Wright, who's never wrong, is coming up next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.